Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu. Joined on this, I don't even know what you would call this episode, really. It's really just frustration because we should really be in this room at like 5 a.m. in the morning celebrating a title. But instead, the Raptors lose 106 to 105 to the Golden State Warriors. It's a very shorthanded Golden State Warriors, and we'll get into everything that happened in this game. But Alex, you're here?
Yeah. I think I'd probably start off, and if you guys want to jump into about Kevin Durant's injury.
Sure.
I think that just kind of cast a shadow over the whole night. I don't know if you guys felt it. It was just weird.
It didn't feel right.
Just a strange vibe in the arena. Like maybe until with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter when there was a championship at stake to be won. But like, man, the minute he left until like the fourth quarter, it was weird. Strangest night at the arena for me personally.
Yeah.
Just to share out the score. Oh, sorry. Is this not podium? Are we not doing podium here?
You couldn't even get the fit off, man.
Yeah. I think we're all in agreement. That was the strangest, most eerie kind of backstage environment I've ever seen in an NBA arena. The only thing that I can actually think of was back in 2013-2014. It was KD's MVP season. It was the night he hit that crazy buzzer beater to beat the Raptors for the Thunder. And that night, Westbrook, people forget this, Westbrook re-aggravated that knee injury that night. And it was like a very somber, eerie scene around the Thunder because they had just won this like crazy emotional game. KD won at the buzzer, but everyone was like, oh man, is our season derailed because Russ got... And that's the only thing I can picture that was anywhere near this eerie, but even that was different. It was like a March game in the regular season. This is the finals, man.
The Raptors had a chance to clinch a title at home.
Bro, they were up six with 3 minutes, but even on the Warriors' end, and like for KD... You know, I'm talking about this time when Westbrook had a potential season-ending injury in March. We're talking about Kevin Durant having a potential, and I know we don't want to do the whole, like, quick diagnosis doctors thing. Sure. We don't know, but Bob Myers confirms it's an Achilles thing. I'm not saying his career's over. Clearly, it's not, but it could be a career-altering injury.
Yeah, of course.
Right?
I mean, he's in his prime. He's going to lose, probably a couple of months, if not a year.
Man, like...
Yeah, it's big.
It's so weird. Because the Raptors were clearly shook by the fact they could taste it. They could taste the champagne. The hats, the champagne, the shirts, they were being wheeled to the Raptors' room. Like, that's a thing that happened. That's how close they were. And they didn't win. And then the Warriors are shook. And it's like they had this gutsy win. But I don't know, like, how happy can they be right now? Sure, they're going back to Oracle. They probably feel like they've got a shot to pull this off. But, like, one of their boys just suffered a potential...
No, legitimately, the NBA Finals felt secondary.
Yeah.
Like, the game and the series... Right now, still, to me, feels like all secondary.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't remember a night like this ever where, like, even the media, you guys saw, like, it was, like, a very weird, somber atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Like, even the way people were asking questions, there was just this weird downer mood over everything. And I understand it, but, man, it was really eerie.
It would have been really weird to win the title. But at the same time, we came down that media elevator, and we saw... Like Bill Russell, 85-year-old Bill Russell, who's always there to hand out, which was incredible, by the way, to see Bill Russell. But I mean, like 85-year-old Bill Russell, who's always there to hand out Finals MVP trophy, and we just saw him getting wheeled into the elevator. I'm just thinking, like, yo, we brought Bill Russell here for what? For what? You know what I mean? For what?
The trophy was in the building.
The trophy.
That's all you need to say. The Larry O'Brien trophy was in the building.
Just for anyone listening, I want to like make it clear what I said. Like, was not. Was not like just to set a scene or like posture.
Literally.
The shirts and the hats and the champagne were brought to the Raptors locker room and had to be rerouted.
You know how awkward that is?
Yo, I'm telling you, Stephen Clay just hit the Raptors with the Ray Allen, get those ropes out of here.
Yeah.
Two-man team. Yeah. Two-man team in the second half.
Although, shout out to Draymond because everyone's ripping Kyle for that quote-unquote air ball. Draymond
got
shot. Got a piece of that. It was an incredible defensive.
It shouldn't have gotten to that point.
No.
Like... It felt like in the second half, you know, after you sort through the KD injury, at some point the Raptors are going to make a run, right? Like the Warriors are literally running out of bodies. Like, KD's out. Kevon Looney's out.
Yeah, he re-aggravated his injury as well. Which really makes you question, like, what's going on on that Warriors medical staff, man?
Yeah. You know, a definitive article will come out at some point, I think.
Sure.
Over the next few days. But, like, you felt that run was coming, but that run didn't come until, like, 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It was too late. I mean, I know it's easy now to say that because when Kawhi went on that stretch.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like the game was over.
It looked like he had written the championship clincher story for every single person in the arena.
Yes.
Like, that was like some Michael Jordan shit.
He scored like 12 points in a row and then also assisted Norman Powell on a...
When he took that three at the top of the key, you didn't even think it was going to go in.
No.
Because it was so ridiculous.
He had 14 straight points by himself, basically. Like, the Norm dunk was him setting up Norm wide open.
It was between Kawhi scoring and that Norm dunk, it was a 12-2 Raptors run.
Yep.
To go from down four to up six with 3 minutes and 5 seconds left. And then... Oh, I was waiting for Will to finish that because I know he's very emotional about this, but he can't even bring himself. And then what happened, Will, after that 12-2 run with 3:05 remaining, after the Raptors got another stop?
Yes, the Raptors got another stop. The crowd was going crazy. The Raptors had all the momentum, as you mentioned, with this run. And then all of a sudden, Nick Nurse decides, you know what? I got a timeout here. I'm going to lose it if I don't call it under 3 minutes. Let me just take this timeout. You know, he explained after the game, it's good. I thought my team could use some rest. I mean, listen, the Raptors, sure. I mean, yes, you could rest the Raptors, but also the team that really needed rest and regrouping was the Warriors. And calling that timeout just basically handed the Warriors an opportunity to say, hey, this is what we should do on defense. Let's go double team. This is what we should do offensively to clear up some guys because they weren't really getting good shots on that stretch. It looked like they were sort of coming apart. And, you know, immediately what happens after that timeout, like, okay, there was one missed wide open three by Kyle off of sort of a broken sequence. He missed it. That's pretty big. But, like, the Raptors basically allow three open threes. And all of a sudden, the Warriors regain control of the game. And, you know.
That was the game.
That was the game. And even after that, the Raptors still had a golden opportunity. Because, you know, first off, DeMarcus Cousins had a putback dunk. That was ruled a goaltend.
Reviewed and still and stood. Right?
But it was very close. You know what I mean? Like, that was a lucky break. That was a lucky break.
Yep.
And then they had Draymond Green turning the ball over half court because he got pressured, which was a gift, really. Yep. The Raptors score on that ensuing possession when Kyle Lowry goes to the basket and, you know, it gets ruled a goaltend. I think that was a goaltend. And then even after that, the Raptors get throughout the game, you see many, many illegal screens by the Warriors. Many. This is sort of a staple of the offense is that they run a lot of guys off screens. And so inevitably, you're going to get some KG screens in there, right? Mm-hmm. This one was not even that dirty. It really wasn't that dirty, okay? So DeMarcus is like maybe slightly moving, but like with 16 seconds left, no one calls that foul ever. And it was just Steph Curry coming off the ball, curling around DeMarcus. And all of a sudden, the referee decides that's an offensive foul by DeMarcus. The Raptors get the ball back. 15.7 seconds left on the shot clock, or in the game clock, down one. And you figured at that point, with one timeout left, you call timeout as Nick Nurse. You drop your play. Marc Gasol inbounds to Kawhi Leonard, and the Kawhi dribbles all the way to the right baseline and shoots a jumper, and the game's over.
Yeah.
And the series is over. And it will be the most legendary moment ever.
And let me stop you right there, too. Two things were in play there. Number one, I think at some point you told me that the game was going to end on a Kawhi.
I told you that before the game.
You told me that before the game. And what did you say before the series? Raps in five. So both both were in play in that moment. But go on.
Nick Nurse not trying to prove Will Lou right, man.
Man.
No, but here's the thing. Two things about the last Raptors possession. One, I understand not calling a timeout if the turnover on the other end was a live ball turnover.
Live ball.
Yeah.
Because then it's like you don't want them to get set. Yeah. But the turnover was on a offensive foul, on an illegal screen.
They're set up in the
exactly.
Court.
It's a dead ball turnover. You got to inbound anyway. And if your entire reasoning for calling the timeout at the 3 minute mark was use it or lose it, guess what happens if you don't use that last one, Nick? You lose it.
It just didn't feel like
you don't. It's the same principle.
Yeah.
So like if when you were rolling, you use this timeout because you didn't want to lose it under the 3 minute mark, which happens if you have more than two timeouts left, I believe.
Yep.
But then you have an opportunity to call timeout for the potential championship winning possession.
Yeah.
And you don't use it and therefore lose it because you end up leaving the court with one to spare. Like, I don't understand. How can you use that justification for calling that one but then not the other one? It just doesn't make sense to me.
And look, listen, I wrote a whole column about this after the game. This was my biggest takeaway, was just the Raptors blew it. But, Like, I was thinking about, like, maybe why would Nurse not call that timeout? Did he want to prevent a substitution or something? But, like, I mean, the Warriors basically had five competent players. They weren't going to, like, okay, they might have taken Boogie off, but, like, the options were, like, to go downsize with Alphonso McKinney. Or, like, we're going to put in Jordan Bell. Like, no, they weren't going to do that. They were going to keep the same five guys on the floor. And the play that ultimately got ran, you would figure at least at some point Nick would have, okay, there's no timeout. He would at least communicate to one of the point guards or at least to Kawhi to, like, hey, this is the play we're, you know, signaling with something, right? You have to figure there was some kind of plan. But then all that really happened was Fred, you know, inbounded the ball or got the ball past half court and then just handed it to Kawhi. And Kawhi basically just attacked one-on-one. And all of a sudden, the Warriors sent a blind double. And, like, the Raptors, their spacing is just bad. Like, I took a screen cap of it. But the moment where Iguodala leaves from the corner to come help and double Kawhi up top, like, Kyle and Marc Gasol are both standing right beside each other. And so, like, it's very easy for Draymond to, A, cut off the pass inside because they're both standing in the dunk. All three players are standing in the dunker spot. And also, Draymond's able to then rotate out to the corner, which is a very short rotation, and block the shot. And so, even though the Raptors did swing the ball and move the ball around, like, it was not a good shot. And, like, I can't believe it. You're up. You're down one. You have a timeout left with 15 seconds left. Call timeout instead of a play.
For the title, like Cash said. For the championship. For the championship.
I think we're all in agreement that for the most part, Nick Nurse has been awesome. Not just good, definitely, but awesome in the playoffs. Yes. Has made some really critical adjustments. Has, for the most part, especially in this series, has called timeouts at the perfect time.
Yes.
Like, has used them really well to, like, stop Warriors' momentum and stop runs. But, man, what? Yeah, I just, there's no excuse for the way he managed the last 3 minutes of this game.
None.
Yeah, well, you know, the only silver lining is that they get two more chances at it if they need. That's the only silver lining.
Yeah, I agree. But I also,
I get it.
You don't throw away games in the finals.
I get
you
it.
Just don't, man.
I get
like, the Raptors kind of blew it in game two. They made a great comeback at the end. Mm-hmm. You know, it didn't really happen. But you know what? Like, there was an opportunity missed there. And then this game right here.
They should have won all five games.
Yeah. They should be up 5-0 in this series, okay?
Steve Kerr said Raps in 8. Yeah. Like, Raps should be winning all 8 games.
But I guess if they're the silver lining, other than the fact that they're still up 3-2 and they're still a game away, a win away from a title, is that, like, you look at the way the Warriors won their two games in this series, both in Toronto, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
The Raptors are 1-2 at home and 2-0 at Oracle in this series. But what's crazy, or not crazy, but what should be encouraging for Raptors fans is the fact that, like, look what had to go right for the Warriors to barely scrape out two wins in this series. Game two, they opened the third quarter on an 18-0 run and control the second half and escape, I believe, with a 5-point victory. But really, it was a one-possession game.
One possession.
Iguodala hits that three
that
Kawhi almost came away with, the steal, and, like, could have turned everything there. And then tonight, I know they had to battle through adversity, and full credit to the Warriors, Hearts of Champions, all that. But, again, Steph and Klay went pretty supernova at times, even though their final shooting numbers weren't great, and they come away with a 1-point victory. Like, you know, usually you'd think about having to play a perfect game to beat the Warriors in this series. And now that we know there's not going to be a Kevin Durant, it's actually the opposite. The Warriors almost have to play a perfect game just to scrape by the Raptors. So if the Raptors just, like, play level-headed and Steph and Klay don't go supernova for 96 minutes, I still think the Raptors win. And whether it's in 6 or 7, like, I think they win kind of comfortably too.
Yeah, I think a good point too is, like, you know, the Raptors are down probably like 15 at some point, right?
I think it was 13.
And usually it's like, when the Warriors in that position, you're like, all right, they're going to make a push. And like you're saying, it was completely flipped, right? Like, I think we were all expecting Toronto to make that push at some point. And the other thing, too, is like, I think the Raptors have won the fourth quarter in every game of this series, right? Like, they won tonight. They won in the game, too. Like, they've won a lot of the second half quarters. And that's because, like, they're just fresher. And they have more bodies. And, like, when they play fast in the first half and you get them into a close game in the third and fourth quarter, like, the Raptors have a huge advantage, I feel like, down the stretch. So, like you said, man, like, go to Oracle. I think the crowd's going to be pretty crazy. I know they weren't that crazy in, like, 3 and 4. But this is, like, the definitive last game.
Mm-hmm.
The KD thing, I think the fans are going to rally around that. Like, it's going to be a pretty chaotic environment there. But like Cash was saying, I think if they just play their game, like, just play their game, be level-headed. Don't let, like, whatever, like, the 20-0 run that happened in game two or, like, what, how they played after KD's injury. Like, those are really the only two stretches where you can definitively say that the Raptors have lost in this series. So they still have a huge edge, but they just got to go get it on Thursday, though.
Yeah. But listen, to your point, Like, I agree with you, but I'm sure you know who else was saying this? The Golden State Warriors in 2016. Because you would have looked at it like, man, the Cavs needed this, and this to happen, and they just scraped by, you know? And, like, Kyrie and LeBron are going to have 40 points every game, you know? They'll cool down eventually, and then, the Warriors just play their games, and they'll win. And it's just like, you don't want to act as if you have this huge margin of victory. Right. Like, you're playing the Warriors. Yeah, like, at the end of the day, Steph and Klay, honestly, like, they were both amazing tonight. They combined for 57 points. Yeah. They combined for 12 three-pointers. Mm-hmm. They could do that in Game 6. They could do that in Game 7. In fact, they could even do better than that. And that's mm-hmm. it's crazy, but those guys are that good. They're that good that they could really do better than that. And, like, yeah, the Warriors as a whole shot 20 of 42 from three, which is an absurd percentage. But at the same time, these are the Warriors. Like, they could literally do this again. So, like, that's why it's frustrating. You cannot let these opportunities slip by. Like, the last thing you want to do as a Raptors fan is look back on some of these games with regret, because you had this game fully in your hand. You and Kawhi had it in his hand, and all of a sudden Nick Nurse decides, let's call timeout. For what? For what?
Yo, the price of those NN hats are going down, man. Pretty sure I told you before the game I was down to pay $1,000 if they won.
Yeah, no.
For one of the four, because Nick has made it clear there's only four of them in the world right now. Lots of bootlegs on Etsy, though, if you want to look.
Who's making Etsy?
Here's the thing. Like you're saying, I know there is a segment of Raptors fans that would probably like to see them win at home, but I'm definitely not trying to see a Game 7 against these guys.
No.
For all the reasons that Will just listed.
Yes, because
like,
anything could happen.
They have to treat the Game 6 like a Game 7, even though it's on the road. Like, they got to just wrap it up, man.
Yeah, and I mean, in a Game 7, literally anybody could beat anybody, let alone when one of the anybodies is the friggin'
Golden State Warriors. And who's the pressure going to be completely on
it'll
in
be
a Game
on the Raptors.
7?
It'll be on the Raptors, obviously.
Yeah. That being said, though, the Raptors should win. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I know I've been a little bit frustrated and whatever. And, like, it is a frustrating game, period. Like, the way, like, everyone left the arena, everyone was, like, confused.
They had a final possession to win the championship.
Even?
At home.
Even that, though, like, that kind of adds to what I was talking about with even the eeriness of the night. Because, don't get me wrong, like, the arena was clearly devastated by the way the game ended. And, like, you could see it on people. But, I don't know. I don't know if it was the KD injury. I don't know if it's the fact that they're still up 3-2. But, like, if I would have asked myself in my mind, you know, the Raptors are going to blow a 6-point lead with a chance to win a title at home in the last 3 minutes, like, what will the state of the fan base be in the arena? It would have been a lot more dire than what it actually was. And that's another thing that added to it for me. Like, even the fans, yes, they were clearly upset, but there was, like, a...
We can still do this,
which is weird.
Which I don't like. Because you know what? This is like a JV game one against Cavs level loss to me. If you want to look at it in isolation. Like, I think in the context of the series, it's fine because it was a 3-1 lead, right?
Mm-hmm.
But come on. Like, we've watched so many basketball games. Those type of games always play out with the home team winning at the end. Like, the road team battles. They make the push. You know,
they run out of gas.
You respect the hell out of them. They run out of gas. Superstar at home takes over, has that stretch. The game's wrapped up.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. You got to give some respect to the Warriors.
Oh, yeah. That's
100% you do,
man.
Rudy Tomjanovich, baby. Never underestimate the heart of a champion.
No, for real, though. Like, for real. Like, just Steph and Klay. Like, the two of them together.
They're ridiculous.
They're an incredible combination.
And Steph had a really good comment, I think, at the podium after, saying that they don't feel like they need to prove anything to anyone at this point. Like, even if they win or if they lose, like,
it doesn't really affect their legacy. As much as people want to talk about the legacy stuff, it's like, it's stupid. This is one of the best runs of all time. Yeah. And whether it ends this year, next year, whatever, depending on whatever happens this year, like...
And this is how dynasties end, man.
But
people just run out of gas.
And even if you take away the Durant stuff, like, because I know I've seen a lot of people on Twitter being like, well, you take away the Durant years,
one
and, like,
and two
they needed the Cavs injuries to beat Cleveland, and then they lost. They blew a 3-1 lead against them. Now they're probably going to leave against the Raptors. But it's like, okay, even that alone, so you're telling me the knock on this team and their greatness without Durant is that they made the finals 3 years, three times in a row without Durant.
Mm-hmm.
They won 73 games one of those years. Yeah. They got at least one championship out of it. Like, people are talking about that as if it's like, oh, their legacy is not legit. It's like, no, that is a legacy, man.
Yeah.
Do you know how many great teams in the history of the NBA never even got to the finals, let alone
got
there?
Look at the Suns.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, like, people that are twisting it, it's like, well, if they only get one out of those three without KD, it's like, no, they still got one, and they got to the finals. They won 73 games. Yeah, Steph won two MVPs. Klay's incredible. Draymond emerged as, like, one of the greatest and most versatile defenders of all time. Like, what are you smoking right now that you think this is tarnished?
Also, like, I know we get 3-1 jokes off and stuff, but, like, that took a once-in-a-lifetime comeback from LeBron. Comeback. From Kyrie, and also just the conversions of events, like the Draymond suspension obviously flipped the series.
Yeah, JR went nuts.
Yeah,
also people forget in that, like, Bogut's injury was big in that too.
No, shout out to the Warriors, man. That's why they're still so scary.
They're very scary.
They're so scary. I do not want to see them in a one-game showdown.
Any other team in the situation will be down 5-0 in the series.
I just know Quinn Cook's going to roll in and drop 5 threes in a game.
I'm saying this. If it gets to a game 7, the Raps win it comfortably.
Okay.
I mean, we won't feel like that. Feel like that at tip-off. The sphincters will be tight, but I'm very confident they will win a Game 7 comfortably.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, right? Like, the Raptors have all their guys healthy. Mm-hmm. And at this point, you look at the Warriors.
Is there wood in here?
What's that?
Are you knocking on wood?
Seriously. The Raptors have everyone healthy. Yeah. That's great. But, like, you look at the Warriors, right? Like, KD is now definitively out for the series. And, wow, Alex is going out of his way.
Well, we've had to go out of our way to find wood because we're in this classy room where everything's marble in here.
I don't know if you guys are superstitious. I am.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I don't even think that's real wood, man. Anyway. No, but, like, you look at the Warriors. Like, the issue they had in games, basically the first four games of the series, was that they can't field five value add players, right? They have stars, but, like, ultimately you're gonna play like an Alphonso McKinney. And today, like, with KD in the lineup, they didn't have to do that. In fact, with KD in the lineup, they didn't even have to play DeMarcus Cousins. And Boogie has been a negative in a lot of these games in the series. Today he was really good. But nevertheless, like, that's what having that fifth guy means for the Warriors. But because for the most part they've been playing 4-on-5, and now with KD definitively out and with Kevon Looney, I mean, I'm not sure he comes back again after re-aggravating his injury.
I mean, like, Jordan, so Cousins is going to have to start.
Cousins is going to have to start, and Jordan Bell's got to be on the floor. And then, like, all these other guys, like, you know, it's kind of back to the same equation. Like, the Warriors are really shorthanded as much as, you know, they have star power. Like, the rest of the guys, they just don't have competent guys, right? Like, they'd probably kill to have OG Anunoby. But, like, the Raptors don't even play OG because they're like, we have, you know, more healthy bodies at this point. And it's like, so the Raptors should still wrap it up. And yet, I'm just thinking, like,
it's scary. The Warriors
this is
are
frustrating.
Scary.
They should have just taken it today.
Listen, you're up 6 on the Warriors with 3 minutes left for the championship at home.
And Kawhi had literally just scored
12
points
this, though,
in a row.
I will
you.
Say this, because I agree, like, the timeout stuff, I completely agree with. But in hindsight, like up 6 with, you know what I mean? Like, a 2-possession lead with 3 minutes to go against this team, probably.
This team was worn down, too.
They were, but all I'm saying is I feel like we collectively probably shouldn't have been as confident.
Yeah.
Yo, I texted my parents at that timeout being like, I think they got this. And in hindsight, I was like, yo, what are you thinking? Like, at no other point in your sports fandom would you have done that. Yep. And then you did it only up 6 with 3 minutes. But that's what I'm saying.
But
clearly,
vibe,
you guys
the
felt
momentum,
the same way.
Yeah.
The vibe in the arena was very much like, we got this, right? The hats were coming out. The shirts were coming out. But yeah, in hindsight, it's like, wait, why was I so confident? It was only a 2-possession lead against the greatest shooting team ever. Like,
this team's tough, man.
And ultimately, you're not going to win a lot of games if you get outshot 20-8 from the 3-point line.
Yeah.
The Raptors got to the free throw line a lot, and they got to the offensive glass a lot, and that speaks to the Warriors' sort of fatigue defensively and the fact that they're short bodies. And again, like, I'm sure the Raptors can maintain this kind of effort, but it's just, you know, the game was right there for them, you know, and they just didn't take it.
The Kyle Lowry turnover on one of the last possessions, that one bothers me a lot.
There was that.
I just want to see a shot up. And Kyle's smart enough to know how much time's left on the clock.
And he was so good throughout the entire game at attacking DeMarcus Cousins.
And especially to start the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, he would get in the paint and just wait out the bigs and get the layups.
Before Kawhi took over, Kyle's the one that gave, like... Mm-hmm.
Oh, Kyle was driving the whole thing.
Kyle basically put the... You know what it was similar to? Do you remember Game 7 against Philly?
Yeah,
when it was the late third, early fourth quarter, Lowry kind of willed them back into the game, into the lead, and then obviously Kawhi finished it.
Yeah.
That's what it was reminding me of. Like, Lowry took the game by the balls, if I can say that.
Yeah,
and then Kawhi was finishing it out. But then, you know, the difference here was that Kyle made a couple of really bad mistakes down the stretch.
The whole thing was set up. It was all set up. Kyle had his moments.
Yo,
Kawhi
Kyle had
his
that
moments.
Wide, wide open three from the wing.
Yeah, he missed it.
And it just never had a chance of going in. When I saw the shot go up, I'm like, nah, it's a break.
Just a lot of weird stuff. Like Danny opened the fourth with an air ball, corner three.
Yeah, it was way too much of it.
But then, you know what? Even the energy in the crowd was kind of weird. Like,
it was a regular season crowd.
In the third quarter, it was weird. Like, okay, so when the Raptors finally gave them something to cheer about in their defense, like they did step up and it was pretty loud.
Loud, man. Yeah.
But that third quarter? I thought they could really use the energy boost or anything, you know?
I'm telling you, it was all around just a very strange night. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it affected, like, I don't even know how to, like, quantify it, but for sure the KD injury just, like, affected both teams.
Yeah, no, once you see a bad injury like that, there's always an effect of, like, man, you know? Like, it's hard to just go at the same intensity. Mm-hmm. You could tell. The game started out with an incredible intensity. The Warriors hit a bunch of shots. The Raptors were giving it right back to them and stuff. And then, like, towards the end, like, you know, it finally did pick up again, but the second and third quarters were dead.
That's the first time I've seen them.
Credit the Warriors for at least, like, you know, pushing through those quarters and, like, winning one for KD, like, for real. Like, it's a real rallying point for them.
That's the first time I've seen the Raptors, like, not play at that high level intensity since they started this run of, like, 7-1, like, starting with game 3 against the Bucks. It was just weird.
That was Orlando game 1 type of effort.
Yeah, it was weird.
Shake it off, you know, travel day tomorrow.
Yeah, that's the worst part. Now I got to go back to Oakland and stuff. I mean, I like the Bay, but I'm so tired of traveling.
I don't want to speak with you guys, but like I was ready for the season to be over tonight.
Yeah, I was,
for many reasons.
If Raps went on the road, would you prefer, like, so you're going to be in Oakland, Will. Would you prefer to be there in the arena where they win it, or would you prefer to be like in Toronto with like the city exploding? Like,
I prefer to be in Toronto with the city exploding. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to complain about
of
going on the
road
by any means, right? But, like, come on. Like, I want to, like, basically leave the arena at, like, 5 a.m. after doing all the work and soaked in champagne and stuff.
There'll be a parade.
And then there will still be, you know,
but I mean,
Toronto
I mean,
is,
even
like, there
like,
will still be people partying outside at 5 a.m.
Yeah.
And that's what I kind of wanted to see. But, I mean, like, ultimately, you're right, there's still going to be a parade. And also, like,
there will still be a championship.
There'll still be a championship, sure.
That'll be, like, nitpicking.
Yeah.
At this point, just get the... Get the trophy, man.
Get the trophy. And seriously, you let two opportunities go by. Like, seriously, they could have won game 2 and they should have won game 5. Didn't do it. And, you know, the one last thing we should talk about before we go on to 3 stars is, during the game, so the way KD injured himself, it was very innocuous. He was just trying to do like just a regular move against Pascal. And it looked like, honestly, the video's kind of, like, just gruesome, really, like, the way his, like, Achilles, you could see it snap on his leg. It's like you see a lot of tension, and then all of a sudden, like, a
his
rope
calf,
rips.
like, rippled. It was weird.
Yeah. It was awful. And it was very clear right away that it was a re-aggravation of the injury, and that, you know, like, he was out for the night and out for the series, and it was a big injury. So, I don't know. The crowd was, at that point, we were cheering because KD had turned the ball over, and the Raptors were going the other way, and I think Serge got to the rim for a layup. And it seemed at that point, like, okay, they were cheering for that sequence of events because you would obviously cheer for a turnover and some free throws. But then it became clear that, like, I mean, I guess it was even clear on the broadcast because they got a different view than what we got. We were just sitting in the arena. We're just watching everything happen at once. The camera view shows that, you know, KD is down and there are some Raptors fans waving and celebrating that portion. And then it shifts to... You see scenes of Kyle Lowry and Serge Ibaka in the crowd to just, you know, like, chill. Settle down and chill. And at that point, it was like, holy crap. You know, like, when I saw the replay of that, I'm like, wow, okay. So the crowd was really cheering for that. And I'm not saying it was everyone in the crowd, but there was definitely an audible excitement. And, I mean, that's just it's unacceptable, really. I mean, I thought at least the crowd rallied in response. They gave KD an ovation when he was helped off the floor with Andre Iguodala and the Warriors trainer. And also, as he had headed to the tunnel, fans were chanting KD, KD. And that was a nice gesture for sure. But, like, that initial response, I mean, it was disappointing. And I think the Raptors, like, as a fan base, like, there's a reputation to be upheld there. And, like, it's just not worth it. It's not worth it to sort of throw it away over something so, like, clearly ugly and wrong. And I think that's exactly what happened here.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, like, earlier this season, like, I got to ask DeMarcus Cousins because I think it came out that, like, there was, like, Boston fans who, like, screamed either the N-word or something, like, terrible at him. And, you know, I asked him, like, if that was going to affect, like, do players talk about it? And does that affect, like, how it reflects on the entire fan base? And he strongly just said no. Like, you know, one bad fan or a few bad fans doesn't reflect on the entire fan base. But, like, I will say, like, obviously, I think I saw some clips. Like, there was a fan sitting courtside who was, like, waving goodbye to KD as
That's
he was lying
up.
Down. And, you know, I did read or someone told me that he was escorted out of the arena.
Good.
I will say, like, you know, for as much as we probably, like, clowned on, like, Mark Stevens, their minority investor, for what he did to Kyle.
Yeah.
Like, the fans that cheered tonight are equally just as big, like, idiots. Like, you just don't do that, right? And, like, it's hard to, like, pick out and say, like, how much of the fan base or how many people in the arena. But there was obviously a segment of fans who did that. And it's tough, too, because, like, obviously these incidents, when they happen, like, they will get picked apart. And, you know, people are going to draw the conclusions, right?
Yeah.
Like, sure. I've already seen a lot of social media accounts only talking about or only posting the clips of them cheering, but not posting the clips of them chanting KD, right?
Yeah.
Just, like, showing the one side. But I don't know, man. Like, it's just tough, too, because we've always talked about how when the Raptors first started here in Toronto, the fans had to learn a lot about basketball. Like, learn to not cheer during free throws when the home team is shooting, all that stuff, right? And, like, it just sucks that, like, a few fans or a certain amount of fans doing that is just going to set that narrative out again. Of, like, oh, the Toronto fans, like, don't know what to do during a basketball game. And that's what's going to happen.
I don't even think that's ignorance in this case. I just think it's people just showing their asses.
I think it's just dumbasses. Like, it's dumbasses that were legit happy that the guy was hurt.
Yeah.
And I think some of it really was, like, a genuine, like, shock, awe.
Yeah.
It was partly the Ibaka layup, like the turnover.
That's
Ibaka
why it's
layup.
It's really hard to, like, quantify.
The play,
right?
play did keep going, and I thought honestly that's what people were cheering.
But if the guys are if the players are telling them to tone it down, I think it's a general sense
for sure
that there's a lot more cheering than there should be.
Yes,
well, and the play did stop, and then the cheering just kept going on. And at that point, it was kind of fucked up.
The clowns that were, like, waving and stuff. Yeah, that's trash. Yeah. But to Alex's point too, like, I was annoyed that the people that were cheering him, that were chanting, I understand that it came after, like, a pretty bad reaction from some idiots, but it was annoying that, like, that wasn't talked about basically at all post-game. Like, even when people were asking the players, they weren't, you know, at no point was it mentioned, you know, but then they cheered or, like, did you guys, even if you don't want to make a big spectacle of it, you can at least follow up when you ask Steph about it and he's going on about how, you know, it's not the Toronto he knows. No one even followed, like, the person who asked him doesn't follow up with, oh, but did you hear, like, what was your reaction to that? Or same thing when Boogie is talking about how trash the reaction was. No one's like, all right, fair enough, it was trash. But did you hear this?
And that's all everyone's going to see.
Exactly.
Those are the clips that people are going to see. And, like, there's obviously a deeper conversation about how news is being reported just in general in this world. But, like, that's a good example of it, though. Like, you got to tell the entire story.
Yeah.
But yes, those fans are idiots. Like, I'm not going to defend them.
No,
like,
not
people,
at all.
If you want to be mad at the Toronto fan base, like, fine. But just understand the whole the whole story of what happened, right?
Yeah. No, but in any case, like, you just, I mean, it shouldn't even need to be said. But, like, you know, you just, you can't, like, you can't cheer for injuries and
the
stuff.
General reaction
the game,
when those things happen, even on the road, is just, the entire crowd just goes, like, silent.
Yeah.
Like, you can hear, like, a pin drop is usually what happens.
It's usually in that, I think, is more like a grotesque injury.
Yes.
I think one thing with this is, and again, not to make excuses for people, because they shouldn't have been cheering anyway when clearly he was hurt. But I do wonder if people didn't realize, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm wondering if there were some clowns that just saw it as, like, oh, he's got a calf injury. It's like, it re-aggravates, he's going to the back, whatever. I feel like...
Yeah.
I would
or
hope
he would have gotten back up or
exactly,
something like that.
Yeah.
Or like he took a fall or something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I would hope that once people clued in to the fact, like, oh shit, this is serious, man.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That they.
Yeah.
But there are still idiots that would have cheered anyway.
Yeah. No, I believe in the karma stuff too, man. I feel like the Raptors, I think you tweeted this today too, Will.
The Raptors,
like,
had a lot of good
karma
on their side.
It's been good karma. And, like, on the Warriors side, I mean, obviously the KD stuff sucks, but, like, the karma thing for me was, like, the Mark Stevens stuff. Like, you don't do that to a player. Obviously, that's not going to determine the series. But I think that was another factor of why it kind of cast a weird vibe on the arena, too. Because, like, we celebrate the fan base so much. We show all these Jurassic Parks that are, like, springing up. And now it's like, oh. And, like, Jimmy Kimmel did that segment about how, like, Raptors fans are like.
By the way, that was a trash segment, bro. Come to Scarborough and ask people.
Come to anywhere other than King of Portland.
Another example of just, like, how news is being, like, reported. Like, one-sided and things like that. But it's just, like, we celebrate this fan base so much that it sucks that there's this one stain on it. But there's no excuses. Like, that's just part of this Raptors playoff run now.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, honestly, in a way, it honestly felt like the crowd had a guilty conscience for like yes. the second and third
quarter.
I'm telling
you, like, everything about this game is so strange.
How do
man.
You like, cheer like all out like after something yeah. like that happens?
Seriously. Right? Like it needed like Fred hit yeah. a pair of threes that really gave the crowd a boost yeah. and like they needed some spark to remind yeah. them like, hey, a game's actually going on, because like people weren't even taking the game that seriously, you know?
That's the weirdest like final potential finals clinching game like yeah. ever.
Well, you said it post-game, Alex, backstage. You said that it almost felt like the finals itself, the game, was, like, secondary
yeah,
at that
no,
point.
Yeah, no, honestly, it yeah. still feels secondary to me. Like, and honestly, like, you guys know, like, you know, I've been taking these long walks in Chinatown before games because I'm super stressed, counting down to the games and stuff. And I'm like, oh, my God, I've been watching the Raptors for 24 years. Like, this is their yeah. shot. And when KD went down and all that stuff happened, I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this stuff doesn't matter. Like, it kind of sucks that there's so much build up to it, and then you realize that, like, yo, it's just sports. But, like, that's how I feel. That's how I feel right now, too. Like, the Raptors are going to win the championship. If they win the championship, like, I'll obviously be thrilled. But tonight just kind of put it in a little weird perspective.
We're talking about one of the greatest scoring talents and one of the greatest players, period, in the history of basketball
yep.
suffering. What we know is yes. for sure an Achilles injury. Yes. Yep. We don't know how catastrophic it is. Yeah. At the age of, what, 31?
Yeah.
And like, you know, that like, shit is serious,
listen,
man.
Yeah. We've all gotten KD jokes off online and stuff.
Yeah,
but it's
sure.
like, man, right after that happens, you're just like, damn, man. Like, the human element, and like you think about it, it's like, I mean, we've probably contributed to it, so we're guilty. But like, people just slander him, like online, about everything.
Yeah.
Right? Like when Bob Myers went up there after and said he's one of the most misunderstood dudes.
I mean, Bob Myers was in tears.
Bob Myers was in tears. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just added to a very strange night.
That was a capper. But yeah, like, I feel terrible for him. And then think about just the whole scenario. Like, he's heading to free agency. There's been articles written about how there are certain players in the locker room who was questioning the severity of his injury. And it made me think of Kawhi's situation last year too, right?
Yeah.
Like, they had a team meeting late in the year. Basically, whole team called him out and asked if he was coming
back.
They
basically ambushed him and
yeah.
was like,
yeah,
bro, are you coming back? Because Mono's about to retire. Tony
yeah.
needs to retire. Like, can you give us one last
yeah.
push? And Kawhi was like, no.
Yeah.
I'm injured. I'm going to.
Like, imagine
if you guys
Kawhi,
don't stand behind me, I'm leaving.
Yeah. Imagine if Kawhi came back in that first round against the Warriors and re-injured himself, like in game
yeah.
one or something. And like Danny has said this year too, that like he didn't think Kawhi quit on the Spurs. Like, it
no.
was an injury. And Danny, I believe, also had an injury that he thought was misdiagnosed, right?
Not
yeah,
I think
it was
misdiagnosed, right?
Yeah.
yeah.
Now,
and then
Danny did come out and say, like, he doesn't hold ill will. Like, he doesn't
yeah.
think it was, like...
Yeah, of course.
Whatever the case may be. But by the sounds of it, by what it ended up being and what the Spurs initially called it, it was a misdiagnosis straight up.
Yeah.
And even Pau Gasol had that thing where
yep.
they were like, oh, your foot's fine. And he's like, no, it's a broken foot.
Well,
I
like,
broke my foot like multiple times. I'm Pau Gasol. Like,
like,
I know what
not,
that feels like.
We're not doctors. We're not medical experts. But like, we were talking about Kevon Looney too. Like, I don't think Kevon Looney should be coming back.
Well, I mean, if the whole idea is if you promise a player that, hey, look, based on our diagnosis, it's a pain tolerance thing. You can go out there and continue to play and you won't further injure. That's one thing.
But
right?
He did.
But then
right?
They both of them did.
He re-aggravated
so,
his injury
like,
as well.
That's kind of screwed up. But. Look, man, it was all together. It was a very strange night. It really didn't feel like a night where a trophy should have been presented. Like, it should be presented under a different yeah. circumstance, and now it will be, so.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
3 stars for the Raptors. This is kind of tough, actually, because Kawhi wasn't having a great game outside of the little push.
You have to give it to him, though. Okay. Who else are you going to give it to for first?
I was going
to
say Kyle, but you're right. I mean, Kyle also had some mistakes at the end there. But let's get the first out of Kawhi, 26 points. 9 of 24 shooting obviously isn't ideal. He wasn't really scoring well to start the game. You know, 2 of 7 from 3, 6 of 8 from the free throw line. Normally you get there more than 8 times. But, you know, Boardman does get paid 12 rebounds, 6 offensive rebounds. I mean, some of the offensive rebounds he gets are just wild. And also 6 assists, but he had 5 turnovers. Altogether, it was not a great game from Kawhi, but I don't really feel like anyone else was that great in this game. I don't know.
I thought Lowry was until the last 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That's for real, true. Like I thought Lowry was having a great game.
Yeah. And
so we'll give Kyle the second star.
I mean, it feels weird to do that though, based on the way it ended. Yeah. But
we can give Mark. I mean, Mark was really good in the first half, especially. Yeah.
He came out real solid. I mean, I think he had like 10 points. One thing that's worked really well for the Raptors is Marc Gasol rolling to the basket. The Warriors are surprisingly aggressive on the perimeter. I would sit back more in the paint and force Kyle to score. Because it's just, if he's obviously really like willing to pass, and if you give him the opportunity to have Mark roll to the rim and there's two guys up, then yeah, Kyle would happily slip that pass every time. And Mark was doing a good job of finishing. I mean, Mark had what, 17 points, but he took 6 shots.
That's impressive. He got to the line a lot.
Yeah, because he was rolling and then they had to foul.
Yeah, that's been the story basically since game 3, right? Where I think it was game 3. When Gasol really started rolling, and like he'd catch the ball and roll, and he wasn't picking and popping. He wasn't catching it on the roll and then like surveying.
Oh yeah,
the floor.
He was attacking Cousins.
He was straight
early in
up
that game,
rolling,
right?
Mm-hmm. And then making reads out of that. Sometimes kicking it to the corner, sometimes finishing at the rim, and it like changed everything in game 3. Because surprise, surprise, DeMarcus Cousins can't defend in space.
Yeah,
but no, I'm with you. I don't know why the Warriors haven't adjusted to that yet and like drop back on their pick and roll coverages. Because also we've seen how like when teams drop back, I know it's not in a like Siakam specific matchup, but in general, if teams drop back and the paint is crowded, that severely affects Pascal Siakam's ability to like score. Yeah.
And we even saw today, like Pascal was benched for the last 7 minutes. A large portion of that was the fact that the Warriors basically decided we're gonna like pack the paint, almost essentially just put 5 guys with 1 foot in the paint at all times. And Pascal was just he was misfiring so badly on his corner jumpers, and the Raptors decided, you know what, we'd rather have an extra shooter out there, just to stretch the floor. I mean, honestly, there's a real consideration to give Serge the third star too, just because he's been great. This is the first time the Raptors lost in the playoffs with Serge scoring double digits. He had 15 points on 5 of 8 shooting, 0 of 1 from 3, but 5 of 6 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, a steal, a block in 17 minutes. Like, he could have played more, to be honest.
No, Serge has been good for 3 straight games now.
This has been great.
There's still some possessions, but you know.
I mean,
it's been mostly good, Serge.
There was that one stretch where he checked in the third quarter where he was like immediately took a corner three, which obviously didn't go in.
Goaltend.
Then a goaltend. Turnover? And then a turnover. And I'm just like, what are you saying? But I mean, throughout the rest of the game, he was pretty good. But yeah. Yeah, those are your 3 stars. Gerald Henderson, it's got to beat DeMarcus Cousins. 14 points off the bench in 19 minutes for Cousins. I mean, he gave them a huge boost. I think he gave them like a solid like 7-0 run. Right after KD went out, because Boogie wasn't even in the rotation to begin with.
Yo, damn, don't want to be the bearer of bad news on this podcast, but Ramona Shelburne just said that league sources tell her and Woj, Warriors believe it's a torn Achilles tendon.
So what's the recovery for that? 12 months?
Not sure.
Longer than
pretty
that?
Much. That's the injury Cousins had.
So, there's that.
Oh, that sucks.
No.
That's
terrible, man.
Oh, that sucks.
Oh, wait till we hear, like...
Yeah.
Everything that happened during this finals in terms of whether he was rushed back, did he push to come back,
and
himself.
Also if there were some snakes in the grass in that locker room that were feeding some stuff to the media about getting him back, because
poor KD, man.
No, seriously,
I feel bad for him. I really do.
I feel terrible, honestly.
Not just for the injury, like I just feel like his career is gone. Like who's gonna be in KD's corner when it's all said and done?
You know what, Steph,
it's not gonna be OKC fans because they're
Steph went to the back with him.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the few guys I feel like was, you know, he was very genuine about, like, how he felt about the situation and things like that, so.
Steph's a great dude.
No, Steph's a great dude, man.
Yeah. But yeah, Cousins, Gerald Henderson.
Yeah.
And the Pat Patterson Award.
Danny.
I don't know.
Danny's an easy one. Danny's always
this
an easy one.
This happens to Danny a lot, though.
You want to give it to Norm because he didn't really do much in 12 minutes?
I think this was the most Norm played. You know, if Pamaka had that one chance to take an open three passed it up.
Oh, man. He could have spun the ball in like two guys' faces. He had so much time.
Chill, LeBron.
He should have spun the ball.
Pretty next, you're going to be saying Pamaka should have taken a sip of beer from like a courtside fan, right? Chill.
Honestly, I might give it to Pascal.
Okay. Really no, that's fair. Pascal. That's fair.
Given the responsibilities Pascal has, 12 points, and the fact that he got benched down the end, like it's kind of indicative of how poorly he was playing.
Very Patterson-esque.
Wow. Okay, come on. Come on.
A lot of guys took turns being Patterson tonight.
Yeah, including Kyle Lowry at the very end. But, you know, it is what it is. And Nick Nurse as well.
Man, when I process this and, like, wake up tomorrow, I'm really going to be like, the Raps had a final possession at home.
I know.
To win the championship. I'm still processing that.
And they went to Kyle Lowry in the corner for three. Are you kidding me?
Well, it really felt like a regular season game ending.
Seriously. I will say this, though, so at every other point in the playoff, or in the last two rounds anyway, when people have looked at it as like, wow, man, the Raptors blew their chance. They end up
back.
Like game one, Milwaukee, even though they got blown out in game two. Like when they lost game one, a lot of people were like, yo, this was the game they had to get. Like they controlled it. They were up.
And then game two.
And then they got blown out. So, yo, they lost it in game one.
Who came up to you and said they would go 8-0 the rest of the way?
Yo, in you did say that they did
you
not.
You were wildly confident about the Sixers series.
Who
man?
Came
you
up to
wild
you?
About that.
Yo, I've been hanging on this prediction for like 2 weeks now, but I came up. So Alex was it was after game three, and I walked up to him very confidently after the Raptors won game three against Milwaukee in that double overtime game, and everyone else was like freaking out about Kawhi's leg and blah blah blah, and the fact that they almost just went down 3-0. I was like, yo, if Kawhi plays the rest of the series and guards Giannis, the Bucks don't win another game.
You said it. Full credit.
Yeah. I wasn't trying to be like audacious. No, I was just like straight up being like, yo, I don't think the Bucks can win a game in this series if Kawhi's on Giannis.
This is what I tell people too, man. Like, I know it's still the Raptors, but it's just a lot of real good professional basketball players wearing Raptors jerseys. Like, this is not the Raptors.
It was that game one against Milwaukee, and then game two against the Warriors was the same thing. It was like, yo, Clay left the game. They just still didn't have KD, and they blew it. Now they got to go back to Oro. That's it. They blew their chance. And then it's like, yo, they go out and spank the Warriors at Oracle twice. Yeah. So I totally agree with the fact that obviously you want to take advantage of your chances in the friggin' finals against the Warriors. But I don't know, man. Like, I'm not that concerned about the Raptors, like, responding to this or, like, being shook by the fact they blew a chance to win the title. Like, I think they'll come back, and it'll be a good game. I don't know if they win in Oracle, but... they either win an Oracle or they win comfortably
they
here.
Win.
Yeah, like
they're
just better, man. Like
I know betting lines don't like, you know, indicate everything, but I honestly would be interested what the line is for game six. There's probably a case for the Raptors being favorites.
Yeah.
I mean the Warriors are favorites today. But I mean by that was because they had KD coming back and they and shout out KD, man. What a legendary performance. I mean I don't know man only played 11 minutes, but like right off injury
was getting buckets.
Hey yo, he was in the NBA finals, he had 11 points in 11 minutes and was like had a couple stops on Pascal and I was like clearly, he's not 100%, but damn.
Also, as great as that
point a minute,
that Fred versus KD stare down was from like a Raptors perspective, you know, someone standing up to KD. It was also pretty cool from the Warriors perspective because you know damn well that was KD. I don't know what they were saying, but psychologically, that was KD being like, nah, I'm here now. Like, this shit's going to stop. Like,
oh, trust
me. Daddy's back.
Like, trust me. I was a little shook watching that first quarter.
Yeah. that reminded me of when Jose Calderon set up the. Kevin Garnett
and KG slapped the floor
and Jose tried to like tough guy reply but then was so shook the rest of that game like
we should also shout out the alumni that showed up. Matt Bonner got an equally huge ovation as Vince Carter is all I want to say.
It's reflective of the access to the anyway the big you're bearing the lead here.
Wayne Gretzky got the biggest ovation
again that's reflective of anyway. It's real expensive to get in the car. Anyway, you're bearing the lead, man. Vince Carter was in there.
Vince Carter was in there.
And it's not the first time Vince has been introduced in Toronto. He's obviously had a couple times. But for him to show up in the finals...
still a big deal.
Still a huge deal. Because they did this alumni thing earlier in the playoffs. Yeah. And they had celebrated like pretty much everyone else. Like Del Curry was there.
But Vince was the one that was like quote-unquote missing. You were waiting for Vince.
Exactly. It was weird when Vince didn't show up. And in this case, you know.
Also, Toronto loves Jalen Rose. Like what?
He was pretty liked here for the couple years, even though they were bad teams. Like
he loves to talk about partying in Toronto. I know
he's bigged up Toronto. That's big.
And he also
did it before Toronto.
I remember he did a lot of charitable stuff when he was here too. Okay. Like I remember there was one there was like one stretch in one season where he was like donating, like for every point he scored, he was like donating to some sort of charity locally. Like Jalen, I thought did a lot. Okay. Like yeah,
no,
yeah.
I was just surprised because he got a pretty big ovation.
Yeah,
much love.
I mean, this is just a random fact, but like if you go to the Hooters, that's on.
His photo's on the wall.
Adelaide and John, yeah. I think.
There's a lot of guys. Shaq's on that wall.
Yeah, there's a lot of Joey Graham's on that wall, and then there's a picture with Mo Pete and Jalen Rose. From like way back in the day.
Another good restaurant to spot those NBA photos is that Thai restaurant, Pie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Marcus Gasol's there, but that was like from the Memphis days.
People really don't go.
PJ Tucker loves Pie. Yeah.
Really?
Catered that for
it's
the whole
hard,
team.
It's hard to get
he
in.
He went twice when the Rockets were here. Surprise. He went on the off day and then he catered it after the game.
Surprised Terrence Ross doesn't have
three
walls at Hooters dedicated to him. Because
what is this? Pound the Rock content?
Yo, shout out Pound the Rock.
Shout out Pound the Rock. Wolfond.
Sweeter Heat.
Yo, you think Joey Wolfond was Sweeter Heat after this game?
I think Wolfond's up right now. I was actually just G-chatting with him.
Who's the most stressful person outside of Will on the TL right now?
It's definitely
like, who's the most stressful Raptors fan right now?
Wolfond's pretty close. Right? Will and Wolfond give themselves a run for their money.
I feel like Wolfond keeps it pretty even keeled. Or at least he... really? No, with no. Will, I can tell when he's like losing it. Really?
Nah. I don't want to expose, but no, I mean, Joey's got he's got a temper.
I've never seen Wolfond like that. I don't know.
I mean, he's I'll generally speaking older and more mature than I am on a day-to-day basis, but the Raptors bring out the same energy out of him.
Man.
And I fuck with it, you know?
Listen, I'm glad we're still able to just crack jokes and laugh about it.
Yeah, that's
because
true.
It was a really weird night, man.
Because again, if the Raptors blow it, we'll look back at this game and be like, yo, how did they not win this game? But... They're not going to blow it. They're going to go into game six in Oracle, take it, and then they're going to come off the plane, and then there's going to be a celebration at Pearson.
Grab me a empty champagne bottle from the locker room then.
That's a weird request. But
no, I got corks from last year. You got Alex.
Yeah, I got corks.
Alex and
when
I were
Cleveland
in.
Won, when we're, Cleveland won.
Who's buying this?
I was there in 2016. Dan Gilbert had a champagne bottle like the size of him.
I got a cork at home.
Get well soon, Dan Gilbert.
I got a cork at home from last year when I was in the locker room in Cleveland when the Warriors won that Draymond had actually popped.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, you got to pick up some souvenirs. You'll see the beat writers literally walk out with like giant bottles.
It's kind of weird.
Help yourself. All right. No, it's for the memories.
Yo, 40 years from now, you'll look back.
If you don't bring anything back,
I'll be real disappointed.
You know what I've been doing throughout this playground? I've been taking the box scores that people print out and then I still have
Jeremy Lin's box score from his first game as a Raptor.
I kept the box score from game 7 buzzer beater day and game 1 finals. Those are meaningful.
Yeah, there you go. Well, this is for the podcast. You know me and Alex already, but Cash, I mean, listen to Pound the Rock. Follow Cash. Cash, what did you want to plug?
I didn't want to plug anything. I was going to, well, sure, Pound the Rock, obviously, and whatever. Yeah. But this room we're in right now, like, quick mini 15-second rant. So we're in one of these, like, private suites.
But
it's not, like, the type of suite. It's not, I'm not going to shout out which company it is. You know, I don't want to ruin Will's chance here at a sponsorship by this fine accounting firm.
Hey, we're open.
I used to work there.
Okay, well, we're not going to say the name. We're not going to say the name. But... So we're in a suite on like the event level, like essentially on the court level, but it's not the kind of box that faces the court. Like, you know, the 200 level boxes, they're private suites, but you watch the game as if you're in the arena. There's these weird suites and we're in one of them that are on event level, but they're not facing the court. Like, you're literally watching the game in what looks like a club that's inside the arena, but you might as well just be watching it at an actual club because you're just watching it on a TV. This makes no sense.
I've never thought about this.
What kind of rich bozos show up to like a game, let alone a finals game, I guess, and then don't actually watch the game? They sit in this weird leather marble lounge that we're in and watch on a TV. Like, what
it's
is
like
this?
It's like a 32-inch TV, too.
Yeah, like, what's like going a big, on, man? You know where you get a better view of the game? 15 fucking feet away on the court.
This
man.
Is legit how accountants watch basketball, probably. It's a little boring.
That's my final. I dropped an F bomb.
Shout out McDonald's. McDonald's is the sponsor now.
Yo,
right?
Shout out McDonald's. Yeah. Shout out. I didn't even know.
We'll lose ad reads are insane.
I didn't even know.
This guy's like, yo, used to go on summer vacations to the cottages.
Oh,
you got a cottage?
No, my parents always rented a cottage. We go to Tobermory quite often and like
Tobermory.
Yeah.
Yo, I've also
shout
been
out to McDonald's in Gravenhurst.
I was say you definitely didn't have a cottage because if one thing we can all share as children of immigrants, we don't have cottages. Bro.
That's what I'm saying.
No,
we have friends
like,
that have cottages, or you like rent a cottage for the weekend, but we don't have cottages.
Because I heard an advanced leak of his ad reads, and you know, He said he talked about going to the Cottage, and I'm like, yo, how is this guy selling out this hard right
Cottage,
now?
Cottage, Algonquin Park, you know, like.
I respect it.
Yeah. Shout out McDonald's.
Shout out McDonald's.
I think this thing's gone off the rails.
Honestly, the last 30 minutes, Will, you should clip that one out as like an after
hour. Pretty sure an hour ago, Will told me he asked if I could do a half hour pod on this.
It's
and like
53 minutes
68 minutes later, I'm like trashing accounting firms that come to these suites.
And
Will's like
about going to
cottages and like being the children of immigrants. All right.
No, it's amazing, man. This is what happens when old friends reunite, man.
Yeah, there you go. All right, shout out Pound the Rock one more time. The podcast is over. I'm going to hopefully do one from Oracle. But if not, I'll see you guys after game 6.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.